Bam! Welcome to this week's edition of the William Hill Sports Show. I'm your host, Kenny B, here with Josh Nagel from Sportsline. Josh, what's going on?
Too much, Ken. Just getting into the action with our virtual horse racing.
We do have virtual horse racing action. Yes, we do. We'll explain just, that as soon as I get the introduction.
We're just craving some horse bets here, so I had to go for it.
Yeah, we're just degenerate gamblers. John the Hawk Stevens.
Why do you say degenerate gamblers and then come in with me right there?
I said we, and then I said I introduced you.
Speaking of which,
welcome to John, your degenerate gambler. I'm sorry to leave you out of the equation.
Well, that's part of the admissions test to get on the show.
Yeah.
You can't just have some willy-nilly guy that, oh, yeah, I'll make a bet here and there.
Well, we do have a willy-nilly guy right to my left.
Oh, there's no doubt about that.
He loves it. Look at it. We turned his mic off before so he can't speak. Go ahead and tell the audience. Is this your last show?
He doesn't. We don't know.
This guy,
let's hope it is.
Man, this guy—he's not the best color
commentator. If you remember the idiot singing not too long ago, that was him. And this may be his last show. We're hoping it is.
You need to get a new shirt and clean up your act. If you don't,
yeah, exactly.
He's got stitches in his head because he got drunk and fell down.
Yeah,
looks like he's been changing oil at Jiffy Lube all day. He's supposed to work in the radio station. Serious.
They'll be plugging other
companies.
And we're
not bullying him.
I'm not saying that's necessarily a bad thing. I'm just making an observation. Look at the patch. It looks like, you know.
Yeah.
But. I am going to throw a plug out to Dillon Health Insurance. They gave us tickets to the rodeo last night. Pretty exciting. Went down to the Bulls. You know, saw the Bulls, Extreme Bulls.
So it's cool for you to plug an affiliated company.
Well,
yeah,
gotcha. They gave me tickets.
Oh, gotcha.
Of course, I'm going to say, you know, Dillon Health Insurance, you know, and Julie Como and her family took us, you know, Rick and all those guys. We went down there and had some beers and some dinner and watched the Bulls. It was outstanding. I mean, John, you haven't been yet. I talked to you yesterday.
Oh, give me about an hour and a half.
Yeah, so it's just a lot of stuff going. It's awesome. I mean, the weather right now is fantastic. The Reno Rodeo is fantastic. The world champion, a five-time world champion, ended up having a hell of a ride on his last mount. And
world champion bull rider's got the van keys.
Man, it was impressive.
Cody Lambert.
Yeah, it was impressive stuff. Lane.
Yeah.
Speaking of,
world champion bull riders got the
there's a frost teams. Riding bulls that's related to him.
Nice.
So it's when they came across, and you know, it was pretty exciting.
When the frost came across.
Yeah, when the frost came across, you know, the old bull rider. So, with that,
my
being,
favorite Tyler Childers song, "Shake the Frost."
Josh, did we miss our horse race?
No, it's starting right now.
Okay, good deal. Like I said, a shout-out to Dillon Health Management, and a big thanks to all you guys, Julie and the Comos, for giving us the tickets last night. A bunch of us went and had a great time. So with that being said, John, you're going to the rodeo tonight.
Going tonight. Yeah. I'm going to go tonight. I don't want to elaborate any further, but yes.
All right.
I wasn't going to go at all.
Who are you going with?
I'm going with our buddy Kyle.
Are you? All right.
Amongst others.
Do you guys, is anybody you know in the steer deck ranking? I know that Nathan Alpert is.
Nate's tonight?
Yeah, I don't know if he's in tonight. I got to figure out when he is.
Our buddies, Kyle and Billy from their company, Battleborn Express, they have on Tuesday they're going to be steer deck rating.
All right. Man.
They won't personally, but some of their crew will, I think.
Kyle's done it before. Yeah.
Kyle's really old and frail these days, though.
Yeah. I told Nate to make sure he gets the tail because of less action. I hope
way less action.
Yeah, but he gets a lot more poo.
he looks like a guy to be into that.
Oh, Josh, we got the three. We're betting virtual horse racing again here. I have all the even horses. Josh has all the odd horses.
Oh, the threes.
Oh, I owe you $2 because it came. Wow, you took all the odds. It came 3-1, so I owe you $2. So KB, right. I'm minus $2 to Josh in virtual horse racing. All right. With all that being said, hey, John, did you hear that Cody Fajardo got his first start yesterday?
I did. I saw that.
27 for 34, 360
yards. Saskatchewan Rough Riders?
Two TDs, and he rushed for one. They came up short. I think they lost at like 44-40 or something like that. But Cody getting his first start in the Canadian Football League. And
he's always seemed like a really good fit for that league.
Yeah, I mean, 27 for 34, 360 and two.
Imagine what Cap would do up there.
Yeah.
He wouldn't have to be in America,
still,
first of all.
Still.
Yeah, honestly.
Why is he – I never understood that. Let's talk about that a little bit. You know, he's so gung-ho, I guess, on getting back in the NFL.
Is he?
That's the question, and that's kind of where I'm heading. I was going to end with that, but you kind of blocked me before I got there. If he really
you got
was,
hawk-blocked.
If he really was, why would he not go to the CFL and play as a first step to get back into the NFL? So it's like you said, is he –
I would think just because it's not an issue of talent. It's not whether people would think if Colin Kaepernick could play. What is this? What are we on about 4 years now, Josh? 4 years ago, he was one of the top 15, 20 quarterbacks in the league without a doubt, if not higher. I don't think it's a matter of having to showcase himself. I just don't think he wants to play football, it seems. I don't know. There was an outlandish offer to go to the AAF or the XFL, one of those one of those leagues, I think, that
when the average salary was $30,000, and he said, "I want $20 million."
Yeah, so I mean that
AAF wasn't it? AAF.
Yeah, that'll show you. And you know, he got a good chunk of money from Nike for that commercial and
the lawsuit,
whatever else, the lawsuit. And I don't think he's in a big hurry to go get his head knocked in, because I'm sure there's guys on the other side of the ball that would be happy to knock him out. You know what I mean?
To initiate him, welcome him back.
There's plenty of guys that have his back, but there's also, you know, just like America. It's American night at the rodeo tonight, which is why I'm wearing my USA hat. But there's a lot of guys that would knock him out, too. So, who knows? I don't think he has that desire to play. I can't speak to that. I don't know the guy, but I don't know.
It just seems like, I guess what you're saying, John, is it sure seems like he would have taken a different route to get his first foot back into the game.
I mean, if you look at everything someone like Johnny Manziel's tried to do, he's gone that route. He's gone the AAF route.
Well, he wants to play, but he wants
to. Isn't he in the XFL? Isn't he on the Dallas team or something?
He wants to party too.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not sure, but you know, he washed out of the CFL pretty fast.
Really fast.
I remember he did. Didn't he throw five interceptions his
first start?
First half.
First half. That's right, John.
The first half.
He got pulled.
I think it's more of a matter of. He doesn't need to play football. He didn't want to play football.
Yeah, I agree. In terms of Kaepernick, too, it's one of those things where we haven't heard from him in so long. It's so bizarre. I still think at some point it would be just cool to see him out on a public platform and hear a little bit about what his priorities are. But you're right, as recently as a couple years back, I remember the last thing I really saw on him. I want to say I think it was New York Times. It's a long-form story. I want to say it was at least a year ago. But they got an interview with him, hard to get to regardless. And they said some stuff. I remember he explained in that story how he was still working out twice a day, still really wanted to crack back into the league. And whatnot. And I think that might have been before they announced the settlement with the NFL. But I always thought, Ken, to your point, like if he was that bent on playing, not only would it help him keep in shape and show what skills he could still showcase, I thought it would be the funniest thing ever, especially as he had the ongoing antitrust or whatever lawsuit against the NFL, that to show if he were just to go, you just look at those numbers Cody Fajardo put up, but if he were to go to, say, the CFL and do the same thing while claiming that the NFL didn't want to let him in, I thought that would just really prove his case even further. Yeah. But as it turns out, they went to a settlement and he won the case anyway. And, John, to your point, again, without hearing from him, it's been a long time since anyone has.
Well,
you just have to get the impression that, maybe his heart's not in it anymore.
When he's inevitably inducted into the Nevada Wolfpack Hall of Fame, I wonder if he would come back. I know Kenny is shrugging at that, but is he not the greatest player we've ever had here?
Maybe.
Who else?
Cody Martin.
I mean, different sport, but not even close anyway.
I guess, he did play the Super Bowl. I know.
Yeah, I'm talking at Nevada.
No, I agree. I'm not disagreeing.
He's one of the most decorated college quarterbacks at any school.
I agree with that. I totally agree with that. There was a thing on Twitter the other day, is what was the best performance you ever seen out of a college quarterback? And it might have been the losing effort at Boise.
His first start ever.
In Boise when he lost.
That was the most unbelievable, because he got hurt Graziano got hurt the week before in the Fresno game, and Cap came in and took him all the way back. They lost the game by 8, I believe. So I'm like, oh, this kid can play. And then you go up to Boise, 3 overtime, 69-67.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'll always love him for what he did for this university. I wonder if he would come back and how welcomed he would be.
We're even, Josh. We're even. It came even.
All right, so we're even.
With that being,
by the way, they're betting a dollar. They're getting this excited about it.
Not that I haven't. A small dollar.
Not that I haven't, but
we can bet more, Josh. We can kick the stakes up.
No, it's all good. But
going back to what you said, John, about Manziel or Josh, about the Canadian Football League gave Manziel lots of opportunities after he flamed out in the NFL. Yeah. I mean, nobody wanted him. So you have to assume that there was probably – they've offered cap money to the CFL. I mean, I know it's never made mainstream news, but I wonder how much money he left on the table by doing that. I wonder what the biggest salary in the CFL is.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I mean, wouldn't he approach that?
I would imagine he'd be number one to that, because not only is he a name, but his style of play would be so suited for – what they do up there when you look over the years with Flutie and Damon Allen and everyone who's had all that success up there, I think he'd be the greatest ever up there.
I agree with that. And it goes back to, I guess, the whole circle is going back to, does Cap, is his heart still in it? I think, obviously, a lot less today, a lot less now than it was 2 years ago.
Yeah, I think a couple years ago, I think that he still had designs on it. He's about 30 now?
I think maybe 32.
Maybe older than that, yeah. So,
well, when did he graduate from Nevada, John?
2010.
So that's about 10 years, and he's probably 22.
That bowl game was January of 2011.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Was that the Boston College game?
Boston College game, yeah.
I was there.
I was right there.
I ate grass from, and remember,
yeah, we
you
all
go,
ate,
Ken, Barry,
we
you
all
go, Ken,
grass.
This is where Barry Bonds' room, so I got sicker than a dog.
Eating grass.
But Ken, for
drinking Bud Lights and drinking
Jeez.
Chud.
But to your hypothetical, Good. If Nevada invited him back for whatever it was, some sort of ceremony, Hall of Fame, or some sort of reunion of that team.
Number retire.
Yeah, it would be cool. Like, who knows? Assuming he accepted the invitation, let's say that. I think the reception would be warm because why not? Like, so his place in history will never be forgotten. You have some memories back of that Boise State day after Thanksgiving game. I mean, that can never be taken away from him. And I feel like, by and large, regardless of anything that's transpired since then, I think the Nevada sports community still remembers him as their guy.
That's the side that I'm on. There's also a really big good old boy network here,
yeah.
If you know what I'm saying.
You know, I'm going to present this question, too. It's probably a controversial question. Who do you think is more hated, Kaepernick or Musselman?
Oh, wow.
Look at everybody's just kind of like, oh wow, well, and you're obviously going to just spew your first thought, but then you think about it a little bit, and you go, well, I mean, both successful, John.
But without a doubt.
You said, you know, for all the pros, there's cons, and you know that's there's a lot of people that are divided right down in the middle with both these gentlemen.
And this isn't a shot directly at you, Kenny, but I find it really petty to be mad at either one of them. Musk could have left a little better. He should have left a little better. Cap. All he did was kind of, I was going to say stand up for what he believed in, but he knelt down for what he believed in, I guess. And he was a great player for this university, and while here, couldn't have represented the university better. That's what I cling to.
I agree with that.
I'm not a Niner fan. I do not like the Niners, so I didn't follow him much afterward. Of course, I watched him, but I'd say Musselman, really.
Yeah, that's crazy, isn't it?
Just because of the
Think
wound,
about this.
The wound is
less
a little
than,
fresher.
Less than
I'd say that, too.
Less
right?
than a year removed, John. Less than a year removed. We praise this guy.
It's, yeah, not, like, it's not as if Kaepernick transferred to Boise State for a senior year.
that's
what you're
it.
Saying.
Yeah,
there's the animosity because of Musselman leaving. They said when Kaepernick was here, obviously, let's face it, if you could sort of roll back the clock and remember that the kid, by the time he left here, was an absolute icon.
Oh, yeah.
He was a cult hero. You'd see him downtown, whatever. He celebrated. And forget, you know, who he became.
So was Musk.
Who and what he became. Yeah. But remember, Colin Kaepernick, though, I mean, it was just different persona because at that age, he seemed like a real, you know, easygoing, likable kid. You know, if you could approach him in public or whatever, never turn down someone who wanted a handshake or a picture or whatever. And so as a college student athlete goes, you couldn't ask for much more. And then on the field, you know, he took the program to new heights.
Yeah, it goes back to what John was saying, too. If you dislike Colin Kaepernick, it happened after he left Nevada.
Yeah.
I mean, so
what I'm saying is solely based on his work in Nevada.
I agree, but they're both extremely successful. I mean, theoretically, Musselman didn't. He didn't really, like Josh said, he didn't leave and go to Vegas.
Colin Kaepernick was, 4 yards away from winning the Super Bowl? I mean, it's a horrible play call.
Yes.
To go to Crabtree in that situation.
It was an out
to the. And it was poorly thrown. No chance to ever catch that ball.
You know what, John?
Don't you roll Cap out?
Oh, get him on the corner.
Get Cap out, make it a decision.
Yep.
That's what I would have done. I'm not Jim Harbaugh.
So John, I'm going to go back to you. I mean, the question is, I want your opinion.
Yes.
I want your opinion.
Yes.
And then I want what you think the Nevada faithful, what their opinion is.
Gotcha.
Okay, the question is, who is more hated right now, Kaepernick or Musselman? You first.
Hated?
I guess you already kind of said that.
The wound's a little fresher with Mus.
Okay, fair.
But the reason that Cap is disliked or hated, as you say, that is a more important issue that people have a problem with. So I would think that the little deeper rooted hatred would be for Kaepernick. The other guy just took a better job. And he took it in kind of a sleazy way.
Okay, did you, Josh, you want to answer?
Wait, yeah, wait. I do. I do think, generally speaking, John, to your first point, I think by and large, And I don't know what sample size you want to use, but if you were to poll or somehow informally interview, say, 10,000 Nevada fans about that same question, I think hate's way overboard. I don't think anyone with half a brain hates either one of them, really.
I wouldn't
and
think
there might
so.
Be a little bit of animosity. It's like whatever issue you stand with on the Kaepernick side of things, it's like, okay, one way or another, it's no different than any other view you may have in religion or politics or whatever. About yeah. You think, is there really a deep-seated hatred for the guy? The same thing with Musselman. People are like, okay, it's too bad. We'd love to, more so because he was a victim of his own success. He brought the program to such prominence. You know, you hate to see it end, and you don't like the way you know, he ran out without saying goodbye, and I get that. But I think, if you're a true supporter of the program, I do believe hatred's too strong of a word because yeah. I don't really think any guys are either of them really reviled. I don't think
I
so.
I don't believe so. There's a minute there with Kaepernick and a little shorter time with Musk, but this is also the same university that had one of the most loyal decorated coaches in the history of the sport with Chris Holt.
Got to hang out with him at the boxing matches.
And people just detested him. And I always had the point of, well, who are we going to find better than
that's
Chris Holt?
That's always been my argument, John.
Second of all, at that price. Third of all, that's never going to leave.
Right.
John.
People just were so, use the term, missing the forest for the trees. That's it right there. Who's better?
You're an owl.
The answer to Ken's question is C, Brian Polian.
Because
he's probably the most hated person we've seen in recent
Oh, well, that's true. Well,
Jeff Horton is the answer. It's Jeff Horton.
No, but going back to that, exactly what you said, John. I mean, people used to say that about Oklahoma and say it's time to get rid of Stoops. And my argument was always, okay, who's coming in?
Right.
He can't win the big one. But he's there every year.
Yeah.
It goes back to Nevada. Before Norvell, and I think we're headed in the right path right now, who stepped in and replaced Coach Holt? Nobody.
Nobody. Hopefully, Coach Norvell will now.
And I think Norvell's on the right, right path. So I'm okay with that. You know, but and I want to throw this out too, guys. Did you know? Everybody knows. You know, we're talking about Musselman real quick. He did something today that I want to get your guys' opinion on, and it involves Coach Ruda that he took with him. So I want to get your guys' opinion on this. I don't know if you've heard this or not yet, but Ruda followed Musselman to Arkansas. And when we get back, because we're up against a commercial break right now, I'll let you guys know what he did. If you already know, if you don't, I'm not going to tell you on the break. And then everybody can kind of grab at the same time, and I'll get your guys' opinion on that. So ESPN Sports Show, 94.5 FM. Welcome back to the Windmill Sports Show. Sorry for the exit. I was watching the horses and kind of got a little bit lost.
Focus up, bro.
I thought that was like almost a fire up the app comment. I go, what did he say?
Focus up.
So with that being said, Wayne Hill Sports Show, ESPN 94.5 in. He loved
it. He's just loving it.
That being said, everybody knows we spent the first segment talking about, you know, football and Nevada, and, you know, we kind of came across who's the most hated right now, which is I kind of threw a kink in there, you know, between Kaepernick and Musselman. But with that being said, everybody knows Musselman took off. Went to Arkansas.
Yeah, now you're talking hated. If he went to Vegas,
yeah, that's true. But he left and he took Coach Ruda with him.
Yeah.
Well, today he gave Ruda, the director of basketball operations, didn't even make him a full time assistant coach.
Really?
And he's just getting destroyed in the media for not offering him that coaching position for being a loyal Musselman lover.
Is that
a demotion? Yes.
Okay, so director of basketball operations? That sounds pretty important.
The media is saying that it was a demotion.
Okay.
He wasn't offered a full-time coaching position. I'm curious what everybody's opinion on that is.
Yeah, I don't –
Well, you would think this would be figured out before he left, right? Like, most coaches say he's going to leave his current job, go somewhere else. They're going to handpick their guys.
Well, Ruda's not staying here, Josh, if he leaves. I mean, he's a must guy.
So you know what I'm saying, right? But usually that's what I'm saying. So when a coach goes to another program, he usually takes a handful of his existing guys he likes the most, if not all of them. I mean, the new school might say, oh, you know what, you can only bring X amount of guys, whatever. But he's going to bring the guys he has the most, you know, experience and confidence with. So my point being is, wouldn't this have been settled ahead of time? Like,
specifically, what position
and how much money he was going to get?
Yeah, because Musselman's always been so transparent, yes. Yes, Josh, absolutely.
My question was rhetorical. Right. You would think.
You would think. Like, yeah. You know, he's been – so like us on Facebook – Kenny B, ESPN Sports Handicapping, and if you have an opinion on this, or if you think that if you want to answer the question on who you think is most hated, Musk or Kaepernick, or if hopefully Mark Shannon's listening and he may, because he's a basketball official and he's really embedded into the basketball, I'm curious what position is more prestigious, director of basketball at Arkansas or a full-time assistant head assistant coach? That's what I want to know. That's
well, most people would say the full-time, but it depends on, you know, again, how much money and what role he plays and all that. But, Ken, let's just do the
– well, who was
know, just to turn the example to this table here. Let's say you're the head coach or whatever, you know, team X, and you leave for team Y, and I'm your top assistant. You say, Josh, I want you to come with me. You know, you've been my right-hand man. Sure, let's go. So I'm assuming I'm going to have the same job, you know, associate head coach or whatever. Cool. So we go to team Y, and then we get there, and whatever, 3 months later, you say, oh, by the way, you know, I hired a few other guys, and now you're just kind of, you know.
You'd be mad at
you're
me,
you're the
huh?
manager. Yeah. Team manager slash grad assistant. I mean, some huge reduction in rank and pay. Yeah, I'd be pretty upset. But I would also think, again, that I would have said, sure, Ken, I want to take this job with you. Let's work out the contract. Yeah, I mean, as soon as you sign it at Arkansas, I think I'm probably getting my offer too. So I just don't get how – you know, how far delayed this has become. I don't get it.
Yeah, I mean, we don't really know the ins and outs of what was promised and what was
– right.
So it's really hard to
– I mean, we could all be wrong. Maybe the director of basketball operations is a better job.
That's what I'm saying.
Than a full-time, than a full-time assistant coach.
That's what it – when it, at first – first when I first heard it, that's what I thought. I was like, oh.
But I think Ruta's a coach. But then again,
well,
maybe,
yeah, but, it's,
but maybe it sets Ruta up for his future too.
Yeah, so it's really hard to speak on it if we don't really know the ins and outs of it. But if the media, like you were saying, was saying it's a demotion and kind of killing yeah. us.
Oh, they're saying
it.
A lot of things.
It's worth to director of basketball operations is usually a fancy, you know, title for paid team manager. I mean, it is below all the paid assistant coaches. Just like the guy who would be in charge of video, student recruiting things, but very little to do with you know, on-court coaching. Yeah. It's more of an administrative, you know, deal that's not that high ranking.
Who was? We all know Ruta was an assistant coach last year. Who was our director of basketball operations last year? Exactly.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you. That's why, because like I said, that's usually a pretty low ranking guy.
That's my point.
I think it's what, you know, it's Coach Carter went to do at St. Mary's for free for a couple of years after he got
out. Probably his son. Wasn't Mike? Yeah, Mike. Yeah, Matt.
I don't know. I haven't heard anything about that. So I don't know.
I don't know. I know nothing.
You don't know anything either.
Well, I was speaking to an Okie. I figured you.
That being said,
Ken, you heard this from the Arkansas media, and I'm curious, but you said there was backlash on Twitter and social media for how that came out?
Yes.
So I'm going to have to check into that out of curiosity.
Yeah, so no, the backlash has been that, it's saying, not surprising, you know, your family until you're not with him.
Has some of the
backlash
come from yourself, from your own Twitter account?
No. Okay. Well, I did post. I said, my post was on my Twitter, Ken Barler. That's Ken Barler. That's my Twitter account. I wrote, "Are the grapes still sour?" Comma. Yep, still sour.
I saw a headline of him congratulating Jordan Caroline for the free agent contract he signed with the Lakers.
Fantastic.
I didn't really read anything more, but you know, I figured that was a nice thing. So nothing for Caleb?
Nothing that I've heard of yet. I guess we can just roll right into that. If you have any opinion on this, you know, what we've talked about, you know, the controversial, you know, we're talking about Kaepernick and Musselman and who's the most hated and, you know, and then Musselman going to Arkansas. If you have an opinion, go to our Facebook page, Kenny B, ESPN Sports Handicapping, Kenny B, ESPN Sports Handicapping, and weigh in. I'd like to hear what you guys have to say. But that was my next thing. We're going to lead into that. I can mark off that. Cody and JYD, the Junkyard Dog. I got it. As we know, John, I was at the rodeo last night, and I really didn't have – no. I was just telling
kidding.
You I was doing something
I'm
else.
Kidding, yes.
And I really wasn't interested in the draft. I really didn't think that, you know, but then I heard you sent me a text and go, it was like, oh, you said Cody got drafted 36.
Yeah.
Not only did he didn't wait. I mean, That's a good position in the draft.
Especially going back home to Carolina.
Speaking of which, I mean, obviously the NBA draft's only two rounds, but for comparison's sake, that's a round where Kaepernick got drafted in the NFL. It was a high second round. It's not bad.
Yeah, one of our buddies was like, he didn't understand why Cody was the one. I thought all along he was the best player.
I have to give you credit for that, John. Yeah. From the time they stepped here and we saw the first few games during their junior year, you said that Cody's the better all-around
player.
You go, he is the best NBA prospect on this team. No, you did say that.
Just because
openly. I scoffed
at you. If you're playing the point and you have the length that he has and the ability to defend, I mean, and he developed a stroke from outside that, you know, he became a threat at least.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't shoot it. I don't think he shot it enough, to tell you the truth. You know, there's always going to be that famous buzzer beater versus Boise. But I always thought he was criminally underrated, and it's no fault of his own. Caleb was a fantastic player in his own right.
I mean, his stat line was always 9 points, 8 assists, 8 rebounds.
And that's, I mean, it, much the same as it was for Lindsey in that same system. Yeah. So I think the job of the point guard is just to kind of be that staff.
Well, especially when you got finishers. Yeah. You got finishers like Caleb and Jordan.
Yes.
And Trey Porter even.
Yeah.
So.
And Jordan Brown, RIP.
Yeah, that's crazy.
The miscast so. Jordan Brown.
So congratulations to Cody Martin. Like you said,
John. I think it's awesome.
Going back 36, which is fantastic. You know, I like I said, I was just amazingly surprised.
He's got a real shot.
He does, too. I agree he does, too. I mean, yeah. I really do. I mean, he's just – they took him early. I mean, it's not like he just trickled into the second round. I mean,
yeah.
So, I mean, 36 is
– when we think of the recent vintage of Wolfpack draft-eligible players waiting on Cameron Oliver to be drafted, shockingly was Deontay Burton. I was shocked that Deontay didn't get a shot. I really was. I thought – I know he's a smaller dude, but his athleticism was just through the roof. So, to see – Cody go fairly early. That was pretty awesome. Big fan of Cody.
I was surprised, like you said, Ken. I didn't know. You see all the mock drafts and everything. And I didn't hold out a lot of hope because this was actually a pretty, talented draft. For instance, I was looking through because I'm always curious about the top guys that don't get drafted. You know, again, there's only two rounds, guys. You've always heard of. For instance, one guy didn't get drafted, Dedrick Lawson of Kansas.
Yeah.
Big 12 player of the year, 20 points, 10 rebounds. So it's not surprising. And Caleb Martin. I mean, there's some real high ranking guys who were on
and
the
Cody
sidelines.
And Cody went in front of him.
But you're right, you can. They were because he didn't get drafted at all. So they he went ahead of the Bull kid from Oregon. Yeah. And there's a bunch
Taco
of guys
Fall.
You've heard of. Yeah, Taco Fall didn't get drafted. The 7'6" guy from UCF, who's actually shown us some skills. He's not just a 7'6" guy.
Celtics
stilts.
Signed him.
But you're right. Especially I'd say toward the end of last year, it became pretty clear that Cody Martin had more of the NBA like type skills that they look for in terms of his passing, his playmaking, your distribution, his defense, and his offense did come on this year. Remember, he was more or less the guy against Florida. Was kind of the saving grace.
Yeah, he was.
So he showed that he could come out and score him when needed. I hate to say it because obviously Caleb Martin was a very solid, Division I player, Mount West Player of the Year the previous year. But something I've mentioned before, we talked about how overall the team this year, especially toward the end, had a bit of a letdown. But all his numbers dropped. And from in terms of a pro perspective, Ken, you would say, well, what does he provide that sets you apart from the rest in terms of making an NBA roster? Well, he's got great length. He's got good athleticism. He takes it to the hole pretty well. But I hate to say it, but in terms of all his overall numbers, it's nothing to shake of. I mean, he doesn't shoot the three well. He doesn't shoot free throws particularly well. He's got a hitch in his release where you got to have a fast release in the NBA. He's got kind of that hitch, broad leg release where he wouldn't get a shot off in the NBA.
Yeah.
And overall, I said when it comes right down to it, I wasn't surprised he was on a draft radar because what does he do that sets you apart from the rest?
Let me expand on that because I know John's mic'd up. He's got a,
yeah.
What I read about Cody and Caleb was Cody was more NBA ready right now. They said Caleb is going to be a project because they're going to have to change his whole jump shot because the way he does that in the NBA, they said that it just won't work.
So he wouldn't even get a shot off.
And he kicks his leg out, and that's going to be a problem.
He's got that sprawl, and it's a real long run. Look at the guys you shoot with, Klay Thompson or whatever. It seems like he's shooting it before he even catches it. All the guys you have to have a quick release.
Yeah.
One thing Caleb does have, like I said, doesn't shoot it particularly well percentage-wise anyway, and he needs time to get it off.
Free throws. Yeah. He struggles at the
free throw line. All his numbers regressed this year pretty significantly. Three-point free throws, two-pointers from the field. I mean, he had a down year despite averaging, Ken, the exact same amount. 19 points on the nose per game. Like I say, so he's still got that thing he can finish at the rim. But in terms of all the metrics and what you're looking for, his stock declined big time.
You know, and John, and to throw that in, the inefficiencies maybe that Caleb had, even though Cody didn't score at the higher clip, he did other things a lot better. Defense. I mean, distributing the ball, rebounding, things of that nature.
And
so that made him more NBA ready.
I've always kind of had a theory that if Cody got away from Caleb, maybe, not that you don't want to be away from your twin brother that you spent every minute of your life with.
I can see where
maybe
you
thrive
this.
A little bit on your own.
You're forced to
kind of find.
You,
know, exactly.
I mean,
you don't
you're
rely
just sort of picture him playing elsewhere in college. See how that would have looked.
Find out who you really are. And Muss had a quote I remember when he recruited both of them that there was a theory that if you're recruiting Caleb,
Cody
was the tax.
He was a throw-in.
He was the tax, is how he put it. And they're like, no, they recruited Cody harder, and that opened Caleb's eyes. That's what I read.
I read the same thing.
And that, no, we want Cody too.
Yeah.
We'll just take Cody. You don't even have to have Caleb.
Yeah.
So, I mean, maybe Muss, from an NBA perspective, saw that same thing too, that Cody was the only one of the three that was invited to the combine this year. All three of them were last year. He was the only one of the three. So it wasn't shocking that he was the one to go. And, you know, I've always thought that he was the most NBA ready. And I'm just glad I didn't realize it was going to be that high. 36 is pretty high.
Absolutely. I agree. I don't want to get into Caroline real quick because we're up against commercial break in about a minute and a half. But let's talk. Are you excited? Jalen McDaniels went there too. I mean, here we are. We have two Mountain West Conference players.
Jalen McDaniels went to the Lakers?
No, to Charlotte.
Oh, he went to Charlotte?
Yes.
Oh,
that's
nice.
So they took him. They took a second and third, Cody and then McDaniels. John or Josh?
Yeah, I wasn't aware of that. But like you said, I mean, especially.
You didn't know that either?
I didn't know that.
Especially for him, they're clearly. Behind Cody Martin, take him behind the second round, folks.
Now you got me. I got to look this up. I know I'm right.
Yeah, with some of these.
Oh, we're not doubting you.
I'm doubting myself now.
Because, for instance, the guy I mentioned, Lawson, who did he sign with? Golden State Warriors. Makes sense. What if he could be a steal? Yeah. But they need exactly what he gives, like a combo forward who can score and rebound. So it always makes you wonder. It's a razor thin line. As you know, like these executives sitting up there, and there's only 60. Every team gets two spots unless you traded for more or less picks in the draft.
Yeah.
And, it's just a razor thin thing to where you realize Fred VanVleet of the Raptors was undrafted at Wichita State, just a huge contributor on their championship team. Some of these guys, too, are left on the sideline. It feels bad, but sometimes there's the argument. Would you rather be the 58th or 60th pick or have a chance to pick the team that's your fit, even though it's real disappointing to always be someone who went undrafted?
Yeah.
But the other kid from St. John, Shamori Pons, real tough as nails, great score. I think Big East leading scorer, close to it. He's a great combo, toughness, defense type of guy. He went undrafted, too. So you never know. Again, there's just a real fine line. But when somebody gets, say, overdrafted, for instance, I think the Warriors overdrafted Jordan Poole. He was just sitting in the stands watching. I wasn't even sure. He was projected to be a second rounder, probably at best. The Warriors took him at the end of the first round. I don't like the pick at all, but they love him because he shoots. But the other kid from Michigan, is he Brad Dacus or whatever? He was almost the last pick of the draft. Three Michigan underclassmen went. Two of them got picked, and the one I liked the most went undrafted, Jordan Matthews. The guy who I thought had NBA talent. So you never know with this stuff, Ken, but I'm always curious. When this happens, late second round, and the whole crop of undrafted guys, I always track them because I want to see just how wrong some of these NBA teams were. If these undrafted guys can hit the G League and then somehow find their way up.
The second round.
52nd. Jalen McDaniels taking 52nd.
Gotcha. The second round, especially as a Sixer fan who always have 100 second round picks, it's so annoying because it's, oh, this guy's the property of
right.
whoever. It's
I was
just
happy
like,
last night, by the way. They took my guy, Ty Jerome, the Sixers.
Yes, like, I was excited.
And then they traded him.
Yes. Carson Edwards, too. They take Carson Edwards. I'm like, yes, exactly. No. It's really hard to keep track of. But they got the guy from Washington. I can't ever pronounce his name. The best defender in the draft.
Matias Thybul?
Yes.
I thought he was taken by the Celtics.
Well, it was the Celtics pick.
He got
pick.
Traded?
Oh. Yeah. So it was the Celtics pick. The Sixers traded 24 and 33 up to 20 to get him. And I think he's a perfect fit. The 3-and-D guy, mostly on the defensive side. So that's good. Right. That was a good pick.
So let's head off to our next commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about Jordan, the junkyard dog, Jordan Caroline.
Yes.
And just what your thoughts about where he went and if he can make this NBA roster, because I'm got an interesting theory here.
Yeah.
ESPN, 94.5 FM.
Yeah. Ken Allen right there.
Yeah, that was awesome, leading us back in. Thanks, Ken. Appreciate that. All right, talking a little bit about basketball. Jordan Caroline signed a contract today with the Los Angeles Lakers. You know, and I don't think there could be a better landing spot for this guy. You know, with all the money that the Lakers have invested now in LeBron James and Anthony Davis as soon as he signs, which for all apparent reasons he's going to sign there. You know, they're going to need to get some players to fill the roster that they don't have to pay a lot for. Man, and here comes Jordan Caroline. I mean, this guy's going to go into practice and work his butt off. I mean, I'm excited. It's going to be interesting, and I hope he makes his team because I was corresponding with one of my buddies who's a Lakers fan today. He was excited, and I said, the Lakers are going to have my most loved basketball player in the NBA and my most hated basketball player in the NBA, John.
Yeah, there's no doubt he's going to outwork everybody, and he's gonna give everything he has. Does he have a position in the NBA?
Yeah, that's the thing, John. I think the in-between thing is probably what hurt him the most. But honestly, from what we saw on the college level and the way he just bowled people over, I mean, I think he would have a chance if – for no other reason than just his strength. I think his strength is enough to compete. If he's a guy that has that niche skill to just come in like, hey, you're going to defend, you're going to rebound, you went back up four or whatever, get in there, and who knows, to some extent, maybe he ends up playing 15 to 20 minutes a game. But just to provide that strength, and what we know now is an ultra-finesse NBA without a whole lot of physicality, I mean, I do believe he has a man's size strength, and
he does.
That should be able to get him somewhere. I would think when you just have the niche, you know, guy who just, you know, shoot the three pure or do whatever. When you have a specialty like that, you got to think he's got a chance. And to Ken's point, remember that Houston did that a couple years ago when they traded for Harden, had no money left, and they brought in a bunch of undrafted free agents.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, you got to fill out that roster with the lowest salary guys you can. So if you're looking at possibly a couple roster spots with minimum grade rookies, I think why not?
Yeah, obviously I'm rooting for him. He's one of my favorite players that's ever come through the university. And there's not a lot of 6'5", 6'6", power forwards that aren't named Charles Barkley. You know what I mean? So he's got an uphill climb. There's no doubt he's going to give everything he's got for it because he's the junkyard dog for a reason. And he's going to have to find a new number. He's not wearing 24.
So if he wants to go in and rebound.
You rebound.
And play defense.
He can do
and
what,
play his butt off
things.
And
yeah.
Get the ball to LeBron James or Anthony Davis.
If you fit into that system, I mean, there's plenty of undersized dudes. Draymond Green's not, you know, you don't want to compare him to the best at that exact role that he would be looking to fill. But that's basically what the dream would be, that he could be another Draymond Green.
Yeah,
and he's got pretty good skills. Let's face it, I think he improved between his junior and senior years. Now, I will say, this past year in Nevada, I think he shot too many threes, like he was trying to prove
no
that he had this range, which he really doesn't have at this point. But it's also worth noting, behind Jazz Johnson, he was Nevada's second-best three-point shooter, even though it just seemed like it took him at unfortunate
times. The first half at Colorado State.
And when he missed, they were bad.
Right.
Go ahead, John.
The first half of Colorado State, was he 6-for-6 from three, 31 points, whatever? That was a blessing and a curse. I was like, this is trouble.
Exactly. It seemed like, right. I mean, the volume was a bit much. But still, for a guy we're talking about who's probably going to be relying on his strength by and large. He can finish around the rim a little bit. He's got the nice follow through contact. He upped his free throw shooting percentage. So when you look at those things, it's not like a guy who's just going to grab some boards. He's like 50% from the foul line. No, he's in there. He can shoot you 75% from the line. He can, you know, make some shots around the rim and finish through contact.
So he's.
And he's got a great second jump.
He's the. Player wise, he'd have to be the face of the Musselman era, right?
Player-wise, face of the Musselman era. Let's see.
You got Cam Oliver, you got Lindsey, you got Jordan, and you got the Martin brothers.
No, I think so. I mean,
so it's got to be Jordan.
He did nothing but represent Nevada in the right way,
the best way possible.
I mean, and even
regardless of the Utah State,
that's where I was
situation.
That's where I'm at.
I don't really blame him for that.
Listen, somebody upset him. I mean, he didn't
do that on his own.
Never. I mean, he's been here for 3 years.
Yeah,
3 years, and not once has he ever done anything like that. So something happened.
I always used to look at him and say, that's literally the last guy I'd want to piss off.
Yeah. Well,
because he's a you could tell he's a big, strong, tough, hard nosed kid, but he's got heart, and he's not going to be a bully out there. But if you
cross the line,
cross him, you don't want none.
Got him suspended for the Mountain West Conference tournament game against San Diego State.
Is that the theory you're holding on to?
Theory?
Is that the theory you're holding on to?
I've heard too many people that were there that said, yes, it's 100% true.
Listen, if I'd have known that, I wouldn't have driven down 7 hours to go watch that stupid game.
Yeah.
But
so with that being said, congratulations to Jordan Caroline, the Junkyard Dog, and you know, we kind of talked a little bit about Cody and Caleb, and Caleb, you know, Cody getting drafted and Caleb not, which, you know, I am surprised a little bit about that. But, you know, I still have great, you know, anticipation that Caleb's going to be able to get focused and to get world-class coaching, which he's never had. That's a shot.
and get
his jump shot, you know, to go vertical instead of
sprawled
out.
The G League exists for a reason.
Yeah. And, Cam Oliver's back on the court. I saw him do a windmill dunk class yesterday. So he's jumping again.
Where?
I saw it on Twitter. Cam was back. I follow Cam too, and he actually posted it. So he's back from his tear, and you know he's. So,
but where's he playing? Do you know?
No, I don't know. Oh. He was just saying that he's back and getting some reps in. So that's very exciting. So he's a guy that I thought, you know, could have got called up last year, John, too. Also,
yeah, he's such an athlete.
He might be.
Has he had a cup of coffee yet?
I don't think he has. No.
Okay.
He could be a Laker
if he got a 10-day call up at one point.
No, nothing.
If he did, I don't think he got on the court.
Okay.
But I could be dead wrong. I could be dead wrong.
I'm almost positive.
So that being said, congratulations to all these guys. Cody Martin, Caleb Martin, the Junkyard Dog, Jordan Caroline. With that being said, who's the next guy to get drafted? I know it's gonna be kind of tough to
from
say.
This.
Jalen Harris, maybe?
Jalen Harris.
I mean, we haven't seen this guy play. If he lives up to his hype, I mean, how excited are we to have Jalen Harris?
They, yeah, Jalen Harris was supposed to be the best player in practice last year.
Which, when Caleb and Cody were in practice before,
which we heard they
were,
that as well.
They were saying, oh, no, these backups run the starters off
and
the
court. And the year before that, we heard that about Jordan Caroline.
Yeah.
So I believe it. And, we're, you know, Jalen Harris, they say he's a similar slasher type as Caleb. So I think he's, what, 6'4", though. He's a little smaller. But I don't know. I'm looking forward to it. You know, you look at a guy like Jazz. Jazz, what, 5'10", 5'11"? You don't see anything like that. But yeah, I think it's Jalen Harris.
I'm excited, Josh. You excited about Wolfpack basketball?
For sure. Just curious to see.
I thought the NCAA was supposed to hand out sanctions this week to the major programs for the in the violations, the FBI probe and all that stuff. It was supposed to be handed down this week.
I hadn't heard that.
Just go get Arkansas.
Huh?
Just go get Arkansas.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
Speaking of which, Ken, another guy, LSU, their star center, Naz Reid, the explosive freshman, undrafted.
Undrafted.
So there's lots of guys out of the line. Caleb Martin.
McCoy. From Vegas that came out after his first year.
Right.
And I thought that somebody would take a flyer on him just because
of his
talent. I thought
so, too. He looked like he had some nice skills.
Think about this. Going into last year, we're thinking Jordan Brown's one-and-done guy. Can we hold on to Jordan Brown? No, we didn't hold on to Jordan Brown, but in a completely different way. Yeah. So he's going to play, you know, he's going to have 3 years out of college when he was supposed to be a one-and-done. You never know what these things.
He could be two-and-done. Best case scenario, now he's a 3-and-done.
Yeah, that's exactly it. So,
and that's just what I don't get. I mean, it just, I don't know. It still doesn't make sense to me, to be honest with you. It still doesn't make sense to me. So, that being said, congratulations to all the Wolfpack players. I'm excited to see everybody coming up. And I think college football is 90 days away. But before we get to college football, have you been following this Big Poppy story?
I think college football is a little closer than that.
I thought I read today it was 90 days.
Yeah, I think it's about 70 to the
first. Or maybe it was 70.
Saturday the
70,
24th.
70, 70, 70.
Yeah, August.
But no, Ken, you're talking about David Ortiz.
David Ortiz, real quick.
I've been following it a little bit, but it just sounds pretty crazy. But they keep apprehending different guys every day, and then they said they had the wrong target. I don't know what's going on, but
apparently, what they're saying is the guy, the hitman, was supposed to shoot the target, and he had white pants. Well, Ortiz wore white pants that night, and the guy that was the target ended up not wearing white pants. So it was a total. But they were up to like 11 people.
It's not Labor Day yet, so. I mean, never mind, go ahead. It's a white, you don't wear, go ahead.
No.
Somebody thought it was funny.
So the target being David Ortiz, and now they're up to 11 people that they've arrested with the two masterminds still. And apparently the guy took a picture of the target, sent it to a guy in prison who okayed the hit. What in the world is going on in Mexico?
The dude didn't look at it and go, "That's literally David Ortiz."
Yeah,
you don't know what Big Poppy looks like.
But with that, with all that being said, I mean, how much? What are they covering up? What's fake news? What's not?
Yeah, I think the original report. I'm still going to believe that he was.
The original report was he's having an affair with
I'm still going with that.
Yeah,
but who knows? We don't know.
Sad stuff. Josh, weigh in.
No, like you said, the whole thing just seems kind of convoluted at this point.
I'm just glad he's making a recovery.
Exactly.
Yeah, for sure.
Glad he survived, and we'll
love
see
that,
how
man.
You know, legal system plays out with all the suspects. But hey, at least they got somebody pretty quick. Who knows what the motive is? But
they have it on camera.
Now, we've talked about the Hall of Fame a lot on this show over the years, and we know it sticks in my craw. Big Poppy was on the Mitchell Report.
Yes.
Big Poppy has been a DH his whole career. He's going to get in easily.
No doubt about it.
Yep.
And it's going to drive me insane. Not that I don't think he should be. I think he definitely
should.
He's
just loved.
It's just that's what it is. It's the perception of these guys. He's a big, goofy, smiley guy.
Yeah, one of the most Bartolo clutch. Cologne.
One of the most clutch. Yeah, another guy who's actually suspended for PEDs. But he's going to get in. Big Poppy's going to get in with no issue, and I have no problem with that. But
so,
the guys that they're keeping out is just
– yeah, it's just because he's well-liked. Same thing with guys like Andy Pettit, who I'm sure will make it. People just liked how he handled it as opposed to your –
could you imagine Andy Pettit
like
making it before Roger Clemens?
Yeah. So think about it, though. It's just the same thing, though. Defiance, denial, and general attitude of arrogance and anger. It's just why they don't like him. So it's the same reason. So you got your Clemens and Bonds in one camp, and you're right. And the other side, guys like Ortiz, Cologne, they're going to breeze through.
Yeah. Oh, well.
It's funny. I just chuckled because John just said Big Poppy's getting to the Hall of Fame because he's a lovable guy. He's jolly. He DH'd his whole career. Was John, that's you.
Well, put me in the Hall of Fame.
I go, if you can get on the Mitchell Report, John,
yeah,
you are Big Hawk. You're Big Hawk. Big hockey.
I had as many clutch hits over in my time as he did, I think.
Yeah.
But, no, it's a – I know. I'm saying he deserves it.
Yeah.
Listen, if there's a Shadow Mountain Hall of Fame, I'm in it. There's no doubt about it. But it's my point was it's the perception of how you interact with the media who's going to ultimately determine your fate, regardless if you're the greatest pitcher we've ever seen or the greatest hitter we've ever seen that are not in the Hall of Fame.
Absolutely. Do you think the Lakers won the NBA championship this year?
I do not, Ken.
They're the odds on favorite now. You're not. They're only. I just pulled the odds today.
Plus 350.
350. The Lakers are 350.
That's higher than some books. They're going three or lower already.
That is crazy.
Totally.
350.
No, I do not.
I mean, I was just looking at these odds. The Bucks are 6-1 now. Clippers, 7.5.
Do you know who
the
three highest, the three most efficient players in the history of the NBA by PER? You know the stat PER? You know who the top three are?
Oh, boy.
I'll give you.
Anthony Davis.
Yes, he's three.
LeBron James.
He's two.
Michael Jordan.
Michael Jordan's one. You got it. So two of the three most efficient great players of all time are now on the same team. If you like that metric.
And you're getting the junkyard dog, Jordan Caroline.
And they somehow kept Kyle Kuzma in all this.
That was the key. Yeah, you know, it was kind really of funny as you analyze the trade. I was wondering who had more leverage, who had less. Like, they couldn't get it done in the regular season. Now you're wondering, okay, they got to do something. Can't start the season with Anthony Davis being a lame duck. They know he wants out of there. Like,
they're going to sign somebody else.
If I'm him, I'm surprised he didn't just say, forget it. Forget the trade request. I'll play with Zion. Let's see what we do. We'll build this thing.
That's what I'd have done.
Apparently it was the same way, but it's kind of funny. When the trade finally went down, so I wondered, you know, did the Lakers really give up too much or not enough? They gave up a ton, but you're right. I think ultimately keeping the best of the young guys, Kuzma, is key. But, man, you can't say on the other side that they did too bad because they got a ton of draft picks and some decent players.
Win-win.
Yeah, John, hold that. We're going to have to head off to traffic here in about 10 seconds. But I agree. Lakers odds on favorite at plus 350. Still a little bit shocking to me. And the Warriors are 8-1. So we're back after these messages on ESPN 94.5 FM. We're back. Coming to you live from the Club Caliniva, William Hill, right outside the William Hill Sportsbook on ESPN 94.5 FM. All right, talking a little bit about NBA basketball. When we left, Lakers odds on favorite right now, plus 350. Bucks, Milwaukee Bucks are plus $6, and the Clippers are plus 750, so 7.5-1. Interesting stuff. I'm excited for next year. Sixers, John, are 14-1. They were 12 last week, up to 14.
Yeah, obviously it's dependent on who they keep and who they don't. Obviously, you want to keep Jimmy Butler and Tobias Harris and, you know, J.J. Redick sitting there. Who knows what's going to happen? Who knows where Jimmy Butler's head's at?
Kawhi Leonard.
Or Kawhi. Kawhi's Woj last night, there was a Woj bomb last night that he's taking a meeting with the Sixers. Kawhi Leonard is. I was like, don't get me excited like that, please. Please.
Really?
Yeah. So, but you know, I think that's just due diligence. Why the face, Josh? You don't think he'd be a good fit there?
But I'm just thinking. To me, my face was just for sadness for the Raptors, where it's like he got that championship, and there's like zero chance that he's staying.
Even though
this historic thing, one thing, and there's like no.
I think there's
as much
chance.
As they adore him, and he's just one and done. He is out the door.
You think that there's no chance?
Well, zero would be probably an extreme, you know, exaggeration, but. Not much of one. I think he's very likely headed to either L.A. or somewhere
else. How many truly great players, which I think Kawhi really is, I think he's going to end top 20 of all time. How many great players have played with three teams in three different years?
Yeah, what were the chances he could be the first guy to be NBA Finals for three teams? Because only two other guys have done it with two different teams, right? Shaq and whoever. And
well, you know who
Kawhi is going to do it for three.
Yeah.
Watch.
Yeah, because whoever he goes to is going to be a contender.
Exactly. So watch. He'll end up as Finals MVP on the Clippers in 3 years.
Yeah, that's why the Clippers are.
I keep hearing Brooklyn pop up too, though.
Is that right?
Yeah, Brooklyn, him and Kyrie, or him and Kyrie. So, but we'll see. World Cup, Josh. Have you wrote any articles for Sportsline?
A bunch. Women's World Cup. I say soccer is not something I'm into by nature and wouldn't do willingly, but my job forces me to. Delve in there and do all these analysis, and I know more than I might have otherwise because of that. Appears I got the wrong sheet, Ken, because there's no I might have to fire up the app because there's no World Cup on the soccer three-way.
Oh,
but I know the Round of 16 is coming right up, and I do know that France is the host, the second best odds of any team, of course, behind the USA. And what's supposed to happen is they both win this weekend, and then France-USA is supposed to be the big old Elite Eight match coming up. So, right, so France plays Brazil, and who's the USA going up against?
The USA plays Spain.
Right. So, both of them are heavily favored to move on.
In the three-way, USA is minus 270, Spain is plus 8, and the draw is plus 375. That's in the three-way marking.
I always like to root for the draw in regulation.
Yeah, exactly. Basically, that's what it is. The draw in soccer, you can bet two-way or three-way. The three-way, the draw, meaning the game would be tied at the end of regulation, and they'd have to go into overtime or extra, whatever you call it in soccer. And like you said, Josh, the United States, do you think that the U.S. wins the pool play? They go 3-0, didn't give up a goal in pool play, started multiple lineups.
Right,
I think after they really destroyed was it Portugal? And was that who did they crush? Thailand.
Right, the first round.
Yeah, the first round. You know, and then I think that they just pretty much had everything wrapped up. So you're going to see a well rested and ready to roll U.S. squad. Like you said, Josh, they play Spain on Monday. That's at noon Eastern. USA's minus 120 right now. France, France is 3-1. But France plays Brazil.
Right, and France has the home court advantage, though, because that's where this entire tournament is. That always plays. You realize the team in these huge tournaments that kind of has the home stadium advantage, they tend to play better than they normally would. It'd just be like anything else, like an NBA team with home court advantage. I mean, they've got the crowd behind them every single time. They also have not given up. I would say they've held their opponents scoreless. They've given up one goal in three games. It was an own goal, so no opponent has actually scored on France. So they also have a great defensive track record so far. And I would think, just like anything else, I mean, minus 120 on a team to go the rest of the way. I would think, as the odds stand now, I think France has the best value because they could easily be moving on.
It's going to be a great.
And Germany's third, right? But they're like 7-1. Seems like a two team. It seems like the winner of USA France is expected to go all the way, basically.
I haven't seen a total in the game yet. I'm curious what the total in this game will be.
For USA?
You know, the USA scored
probably
all,
higher because they're scoring at such a high rate.
Well, but they haven't, Josh. That's been a misconception. They did in game one. They won game two 3-0 and game 3-2-0.
I'd say, but three's pretty high. I would say, it's either going to be two.
I'm talking about the totals.
2.5 or three. I know.
Yeah, I mean, John, have you been watching this at all?
Yeah, I have. I like the USA. I have a question for you. We were talking about Colin Kaepernick a little bit ago.
Oh, boy.
What are your thoughts on Megan Rapinoe? She's the one that sits for the national anthem while wearing Team USA on her chest. I think that's a little different than doing it for when you have 49ers on your chest.
Yeah, I don't like it. I'm very patriotic. I think that anybody, you know, I look around. It bothers me when I'm, for instance, last night at the rodeo when they played the national anthem and everything. I looked around at people and, you know, make sure everybody took their hats off and they stood and showed respect to the United States of America. Yeah. And I'm very, very, you know, patriotic when it comes to stuff like that. Yeah. It all bothers me, John. It's not the platform to express your social opinions. It's the 3 minutes that you're giving to the country that you live in,
that you're
representing, all the people and the people that died for this country, for you to be able to express that. You got to give those 3 minutes, that honor to those 3 minutes. I'll never get over the guy in the Olympics that was, what was he going to do? Was it a pole vault or was he running? And the national anthem came on, and he stopped and basically faulted his approach because he heard the national anthem someplace else to find the flag. And that's what it's all about.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
So
my only question would be this, though. Do sporting events also have to be the platform in which to prove or disprove your level of patriotism? So I would think my solution to solve the whole debate is, why do we even have to hear it before every single sporting event?
I think World Cup setting where it's country versus country versus country.
That's a bigger thing. But I just mean how much a run-of-the-mill basketball and baseball
understand.
Game.
I understand what you're saying. I don't agree
so
with it, but
if
I understand
not,
what you're saying.
So, John, so why not, Josh? I mean, where else can we do it? Where else can we show our respect for the country?
Well, I would say, World Cup / Olympics is a bigger thing because that is actually when you're representing the country. So I get that. But I just mean, just generally speaking, when there was all this stuff about the NFL.
We're really going
to
get to a society.
Why do we need to do this? I show up to a football game to watch football. Yeah. And honestly, I'm more or less annoyed or I got to stand up.
That's terrible, Josh.
No, it's not.
It is terrible. That's terrible. I'm not even going to comment on that. You can't show 2 minutes of respect to the people that died for the country?
I can't
do that?
Do I need to be forced to at a sporting event? I mean, do you wake up in the morning and recite the Pledge of Allegiance, you know, in your privacy of your own home?
When I was in school, I did.
My work is done here, ladies and gentlemen.
I totally disagree, Josh. I totally disagree. I think that
I'm just sitting back watching, loving
it. I think that if they want to play the national anthem, yes, I think that you should show respect.
I mean, when you go to the steakhouse to dinner, do they stop before serving and force you to?
But you know what, Josh? If they did, I'd stand up.
I take it you would.
I would, 100%. I would. And I'd be disgusted by anybody that didn't. Absolutely.
I had a training class with a previous job, and the first moment of training, they played the national anthem and said, everybody please rise. And they said, this is the type of company we are. We're a patriotic company. Yep. And I was like, wow, this is pretty cool. I mean, I was just surprised to see that. And that's how the training with that company started. It was pretty cool.
So,
Kimball Midwest, I'll shout them out.
So that being said, I do. I think that if you go to an event and they want to show respect to the United States of America and the people that have died for this country, yeah, you should take 2.5 minutes out of your life and be inconvenienced if it inconveniences you.
Especially as we bring it back to sports, my point was Megan Rapinoe, one of the best players in the world, certainly on the USA team, she doesn't stand for the national anthem. And as much as I don't have a huge problem with it, I do have a big problem, but when you're representing that country, when you have Team USA on your chest, I think that is a different story.
Yeah. No, I got it. Anyways, what were we talking about?
So is the U.S. going to go over or under the posted total?
Oh, yeah, but which we haven't.
We haven't seen yet. We
don't know what the total is yet, but, it's just – I think that, the U.S. Women's World Cup team has been such a dominant force. I'm trying to figure out if I want to make a big bet on the future.
They almost didn't cover yesterday's match.
Against Sweden?
Because the offsides, that was – I thought it was offsides, but whatever.
But they won.
That's
they advanced.
Hockey. I know that.
I mean, so here we are in the knockout, 16 teams left. I mean, is minus 120, is there value there?
I don't think so. Like I said, I'm going down the list of other teams because just one of those weird things. Like, the Warriors this year, minus $3, the whole year, and also even into that was the same price in the NBA Finals. Like, it's one of those things where, the real thick chalk in a futures thing just has no value at all. So I'm just going down the list. Like I said, right now, I think the value would be on France at 3-1.
Yeah, I think you're right there. If you're just talking straight value, yeah, I think France 3-1. Exactly what it is. Kenny, stop texting. You have a show.
But I would say, from what I see, is the U.S. to be priced like that, where you're actually laying a little bit of juice, are they that head and shoulders above everybody so far? But let's face it, you get to that round of 16 in soccer, a low-scoring game, you got to think the step-up of competition is going to be there the whole way. Are they really going to run the table? Suppose they could.
Well, I suppose they could.
Somebody's going to.
Right, exactly.
So, they'll play the winner of the France-Brazil game. And then on the other half of the bracket, there's Norway, Australia, England, and Cameroon. So, with that being said, I think the U.S. women, they advance. I think they get to the finals. And I'd much rather be sitting there holding a ticket, with the U.S. minus 120 in the finals, because if they make it to the finals, I don't think it's going to be minus 120. Like you said, Josh, your point was valid, too, that their second game versus the winner of France and Brazil – That's a legit game right there. I'm excited about that game.
I am too. Believe me, that's what all the research I've done, and believe me, it forces me. I put the Fox, I put all these games on at work because now that I'm forced to research, I got to watch too to know what the heck I'm doing. And now the more I learn, the more I'm looking forward to it. It's like, that USA-France likely match that's coming up is finally actually a soccer game. I'll take time out of the day to watch because that looks exciting.
So the USA kicks off that game on Monday at noon Eastern time. So. Early here, so you got to get up early. I have Monday off, so I'm excited about that. I might actually not play golf. I'll play golf and watch it on my phone.
It's a hell of a plan, kid.
Heck of a plan, John. Heck of a plan. What else is going on? We talked about the rodeo. We talked about Fajardo. We're going to talk a little bit about baseball. But the hangover of the Masters, or the Travelers this week, and you look at all the players that are in the Travelers right now and the leaderboard, and it's just – it's really Zach – some guy – how do is it Sucher? Sucher? Minus 11, but, Koepka's in this. He's nowhere to be seen. Mickelson's in this. I mean, there truly is a hangover when it comes to the events after the majors, and that's when you find these long-shot golfers.
Yeah.
How in the world could I not find this guy? But I'm going to be looking at somebody that's, with 2 days left, who can make a run? Oosthuizen, he's 5 strokes back, maybe get some future best. So what I'm saying is look for some value here because I'm not sure these guys can hold on. That are up at the top of the leaderboard, Josh.
And we have yet to see the reset odds for the weekend, right? That's going to come probably later tonight or early tomorrow morning.
Yeah, I have not seen a reset, but Nick will do that along.
Right, he's
going
to check it later.
Right, along with the matchups, along with the matchups. So with that being said, you know, I'm excited. The Travelers, you know, congratulations to last week's winner. Great story. Finally, Woodland finally got a victory. So
I thought Koepka was coming the whole time.
I did too.
I thought so too. How crazy is that? Dude, the guy's just there now every weekend on the majors. There he is. You know, making a bit of a run, and he finished second, right?
It's going to be weird that the major season is going to be over in a month.
I know. It is.
Without the PGA in August. I thought
Tiger's going to win his token last one to cost me $1,000, and he'll never win another one.
No, he's going to win two more.
All right. Let's head off to our last commercial break. We'll come back. We'll continue talking sports on ESPN 94.5 FM. Welcome back to the last segment of the William Hill Sports Show. I'm your host, Kenny B, here with Josh Nagel from Sportsline. You can get all Josh's stuff on Sportsline, too. Ton of articles about everything throughout the year. So he's a writer for Sportsline. So Josh and Josh Nagel won on Twitter.
Thanks. Thanks, Ken, for the plug. Correct, but you're right. We got, like I said, everything up there. I'm doing Women's World Cup, but everything else you got. UFC, boxing, already looking ahead to the college football and pro football. We know the lines for week one are out in both sports, so it's never too early to look ahead for that. Baseball every day. It's all up there for...
Are you going to handicap this Tom Cruise versus Justin Bieber fight?
If it comes to fruition, that would be pretty awesome. I don't know what Bieber was thinking, you know, calling out Tom Cruise on Twitter a couple weeks ago. The aftermath was hilarious, though, right? Because you got...
Is there any fight in the world
Dana White,
you'd rather see?
Oscar De La Hoya jumping in there. Everyone and their brothers offering to set that up for him.
But I couldn't imagine anything better.
Yeah, but we don't even know yet if word's even gotten to Tom Cruise about
the
offer.
If it's gotten to us, he knows.
No, but apparently he's off the grid completely, social media-wise. He doesn't do any of it.
No, he's a Scientologist, Ken. It's going to take a while.
I'm aware.
But nonetheless, yeah, I don't know what views are. But nonetheless, it would be worthwhile. What's funny, that whole deal that Bieber did, nothing else, it got people talking about how we'd actually like to see celebrity boxing was a pretty big thing. Let's bring that back, you know, in more organized form. People enjoyed it. There was odds on it and everything. So let's if MMA's the deal now, sure. But
hold on.
They can't fight. I mean, let's just get the gloves on.
Let's talk about the bare knuckle stuff you were telling me let's talk about that.
It's
going to
be one of the biggest fights kind of the year. It's if you follow it at all. So now
you know about this?
No.
The BKFC, the Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship, is a real thing. Look on YouTube. They got some fights. It's pretty crazy. They do it in the smallest circle. These guys have a little wrap on their wrist, but their knuckles are bare, so it's like a throwback. And they've been recruiting guys who are former UFC, some retired. Some are doing it as a side hobby. I mean, they're fighters really. You can cross over or whatever. Like some fringe UFC fighters are getting in there, some retired boxers. But, John, you remember the deal when Conor McGregor was fighting Floyd Mayweather and they decided to bring in some different trainers for him, but Pauly Malignaggi, the former boxing champion who now commentates for Showtime, he'd been a little critical of McGregor. Or he had said, like, oh, I don't know if he's going to be able to do very well unless he trains with some real boxers. Well, remember at the time, McGregor saw all the commentary, and he said, okay, if that's what you really think, then why don't you come train me? Okay, and he did. So at first, it turned out it was going to be this amicable thing where he actually hired Malignaggi to come in and be his boxing trainer / sparring partner. But then everything fell apart, right? Because they had the sparring, but then there was the leaks of the little videos and the pictures where Conor was trying to make it look like he really whooped up a Malignaggi. And he was saying, you know, there's no way you didn't see the full unedited thing and that, hey, I held my own, even though I've been retired for 2 years. But that turned into a bitter thing where, like, Malignaggi didn't like the fact that, hey, he thought it was an inaccurate portrayal of what happened. McGregor was claiming otherwise. Remember at the time, in his whole kind of herd or his camp, there was kind of a mid-level UFC guy named Artem Lobov, a Russian, really smart guy, but he had like a mediocre record. He's been one of Conor's sparring partners and training partners, and he's kind of out of the UFC now. He joined this bare knuckle thing. He's actually been really kicking butt in the bare knuckle fighting. And then just because of the bad blood that happened with all that, the promoters came to Malignaggi and said, hey, you know, there was some momentum for, at some point, him fighting Conor. Doesn't look like it's going to happen. But they said, would you bare-knuckle fight Artem Lobov, his friend and teammate? He's like, yeah, sure. But apparently they offered him like a 7-figure purse. I heard Malignaggi's getting like $1 million, and Lobov's getting a pretty good purse as well, six figures. But I was telling Ken before the show, John, if you ever want to see, so this is actually on pay-per-view tomorrow night. I think it's from the Tampa Fairgrounds. The biggest bare knuckle card they've ever had with these two guys headlining the main event. But I said, if you want some entertainment and what they've done the last couple of weeks, And I was telling Ken, it's just out of control. Watch some of these press conferences, including yesterday was the official fight press conference, but they've had a couple here and there leading up to it. And these guys are just ruthless. I mean, the most malicious. They're going after each other with insults like you've never seen. And they even asked Lobov yesterday, oh, would you shake his hand when it's all said and done? He goes, no, I'll never shake his hand, but I'm going to shake his brain tomorrow. Malignaggi called Malignaggi called him a punching bag with legs. He's like, he goes, I'm just going to cut through this guy like you wouldn't believe. There's not odds on it here, I think, of William Hill, but I've seen some of the offshores. For what it's worth, the promoter even said that the Russian guy opened as a small favor. I don't believe it, but now I'm well aware of the places that are actually offering odds on it. Have Malignaggi as like a -3 favorite. That seems more correct because he's the professional boxer going in there against an MMA guy. But if you ever want to see some true, you know, bad blood and then a mixture of, if you ever wondered how a MMA guy versus boxing looks in sort of a mixed format, that's tomorrow. Because not only bare knuckle, but there's things where, like, they allow clinching, like Muay Thai type of stuff, where it's like you can't even, like, boxing, right?
Interesting.
In boxing, if they get, you know, sort of clinched up, there's nothing you do. The ref comes in and breaks it. They don't do that. In this bare knuckle, the fighters have to break themselves, although the ref will say, hey, get out of there, whatever. So check some of that out. But that's a fight that's worth watching tomorrow. And you've never seen worse trash talk than those two guys, believe me.
Where do you find it?
You'll never see it. I believe, Ken, you just got to find the bare knuckle fighting championship. I guess you got to go to their website and then order the pay-per-view.
You talked about celebrity boxing and bring it back to, remember, Manute Bol beat William the Refrigerator Perry.
That's right.
He had 102-inch reach. 102-inch reach.
And there was some pretty – I mean, Ray, let's just fake it. I mean, that was just like the circus freak show matchup, and that's fine. But if they were to bring it back, what I'd like to see, John, is I'd like to see between celebrities that have some sort of real beef but are within the relative weight class, and they give them whatever, 2 months to train. I mean, I just want to see the competition and then make it less of a circus show, but between people, you know, the public wants to see go at it, I think it could be pretty cool. So to your point, Ken, I said this Bieber and Tom Cruise is 56 years old.
Oh, man, I'd love it.
I mean, do you think he really would get in a cage fight with Justin Bieber? I mean, come on. I don't know.
What precipitated that?
Nothing. Bieber later said, he since done an interview where he just said he was drunk and, you know, tweeted this out just to because he thought it would be funny and that he thought Cruise would take it as a joke.
Oh, I love it.
He claims to be surprised by all the hoopla that's surrounding it, but he did. He started it.
Can I just get The Rock versus Vin Diesel?
Oh.
Can I just see that?
I can smell it.
Oh, great.
So, you know.
Relax.
You're not mic'd up. You're not part of the show. Okay.
Yeah.
So, with that being said, this all started with you can get Josh's stuff at Sportsline. Which,
but then you asked me about the
bare knuckle
fight.
And I was going to say, you can get Hawk's stuff at the Coors Light.
I was going to say at the Coors tent tonight.
Big guy wearing a red USA hat. That's John. So, he'll be at Coors at the rodeo.
That's for you, ladies.
Oh, goodness. You guys been watching the College World Series? Michigan is in the finals. They're waiting for the winner. Vanderbilt's playing Louisville right now. Vanderbilt's up 1-0, and they have to beat Louisville has to beat Vanderbilt twice. But Michigan, when they got to the Super Regionals, I believe they were 200-1 to win this thing.
That's what keeps flashing across the screen. They said that's what they entered the College World Series at. So I told you, we were talking about
200-1.
Apparently it's year of the major underdog to cash in those future bets because that's just crazy.
I know some friends that are Michigan fans. I hope they have a $20 bill on it. I mean, that would just be fantastic.
Again, that'd be like the NCAA tournament. You wouldn't see that'd be like it'd have to be like a 14 seed winning it all. Because any team with a legit shot's usually in the 6-1 to 25-1 range. Even Texas Tech they got within one game, but they were still only 60-1.
We talked about this last week, John, about college baseball and these long odds losing. We talked about this, John. I mean, and here they are. You know, Michigan. They're in the finals. Man, why can't we have a ticket with that, John?
The first team since Ohio State in 1966 from the Big Ten to make it to the finals of the College World Series.
Absolutely crazy.
You know what are those things that Michigan was wearing around their waist?
I don't know. I saw that, too. I was wondering if it was like a play calls and stuff like that, but I saw that, too. It's right where the
great uniforms,
right where their belt buckle would be. Is that what you see, John?
Yeah, exactly. That's what it does look like, but I don't really know. But it's a good story. I mean, remember a couple of weeks ago we had a listener – claimed that UCLA was going to win it all against, and they were playing Michigan.
And Louisville just tied it up on a guy still in third with two outs.
The Giants drafted their first baseman in the second round and their shortstop in the fourth round. So we need Louisville to hurry up and get eliminated so they can sign these guys.
Catcher threw the ball into left field on a guy trying to steal third. Louisville ties it 1-1. So Louisville's got to beat them twice, but still exciting stuff, College World Series.
We were fortunate enough to go to Nashville and watch Nevada Wolfpack against Vandy, and you remember looking at that at the baseball field, which is completely adjacent to the football field. That's one of the nicest fields I've ever seen.
Yeah.
That's a great program, Vanderbilt.
Absolutely. Except they boat raced us.
Except for that. Yeah, well, yeah, they did.
Josh, what do you got this week? Anything, any selections you like that you want to throw out to the listeners? I know you did a lot of articles. Is there anything that sticks out?
Ken, on top of, you know, it talked about sort of the novelty bare knuckle fight, which is hard to find odds on everything else, but there's a legit UFC card tomorrow. It's pretty good. One of the free ones, so if you want to check out you know, ESPN or whatever, there's some pretty good fights. I just saw a flash across the screen go, the guy in the co-main event, John Lineker, pulled out. So I don't know what they're going to do about the co-main. But the main event should be a pretty exciting fight. You got Renato Moicano against Chan Sung Jung. They call him the Korean Zombie. Those two, you know, whatever, flyweight guys. Should be a pretty decent fight. And one, Ken, I would say this, upset I like on, it's on the main card. But Randy Brown, who I think is a pretty good fighter, I'm curious if our MMA guy, Jonathan Adamitz, would agree with me about plus 220 against Brian Barberina. Ken, I'll text you about this tomorrow, too. But remember this, plus 220, Randy Brown, live underdog if I've ever seen one. Real athletic young kid, lost his last fight, but he's pretty good. He knocked the snot out of Mickey Gall in his prior fight. This line just seems out of whack, and there's your live underdog of the weekend.
All right, John, a little bit later tonight, D-backs and Giants, Shamarja versus Clark, minus 140. You think that number's a little bit light on Clark? First of all,
you mentioned Dodgers. Can we abolish instant replay because it doesn't work? Anybody that watched the ninth inning of the Giants-Dodgers game last night can attest to that. But what was the question?
Tonight, a Giants game tonight. I'm curious if you have any insight on the Giants.
Yeah, the Giants are awful, and the Diamondbacks will win that game by probably 20.
By 20? So you'd like the D-backs minus 2.5?
I like the D-backs minus 17.5.
All right, what about – we talked a little bit about Dodgers-Rockies tonight, too. Buehler versus Marquise.
Dodgers,
it's hard to bet against the Dodgers.
One good thing about last night is it exposed really how awful that Dodger bullpen is. Every other aspect of that team is fantastic. If they don't fix that bullpen, they're not going to win the World Series for the 31st consecutive year.
And you're okay with that?
I couldn't be more proud to say that.
All right. Well, thanks for tuning in. Make sure you do all your wagering at William Hill. You can download the William Hill mobile app at www.williamhill.us. Once again, www.williamhill.us. Full-service mobile sportsbook right in your fingertip. We'll see you next week. Same time, same place. Good luck. See you next week on ESPN 94.
Thanks for joining us for the William Hill Sports Show. Be sure to tune in again next Friday at 5 p.m. for all the action. This is KUUB Sun Valley, ESPN Radio 94.5.